This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, awesome to Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
Raw SmackDown this week. We've also had a bit of an advancement on the King and the Queen of the Ring brackets. After SmackDown this week, we will know who all of the semi-finalists are, but I do want to take a quick look at it. We'll start off with the King of the Ring, with the men. We saw Obafemi last week dominate his side of things. He knows he's not finished with Brock Lesnar, but he's still doing his best crack at the bracket. Dominic Mysterio comes out on top of his, something that personally I didn't expect. We know now we're going to get Obafemi Dominic clashing. And we got Javon Evans coming out on top of his side, something I'd hoped for and quite happy to see as well.
Yeah, because of that match, I'm kind of shocked. I am shocked. I mean, I love Evans, and I think he's got a bright future, but I figured they would default to Seth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting. There's a couple of different... like, my brain still obviously can't get off of Obafemi just stomping the division and going into his SummerSlam match. But I do know that Brock Lesnar is sitting there, and so there are options there. I think you were chatting about Dominic Mysterio potentially as a winner out of this.
I would be all for it, but the more I think about it, the more I think they're going to go with a lame choice and it be LA Knight. And that's how he gets his match with Roman at SummerSlam.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's because obviously that's the one quarterfinal that we don't know just yet. The Jey Uso, LA Knight, Royce Keyes, Finn Balor one. And honestly, I could see any of those four. Maybe Jey Uso the least coming out of that with the win and moving on to the semi-final against Javon Evans. But yeah, they have been teasing LA Knight with the Usos and with Reigns and Royce Keyes. You know, sometimes we always want to push the new guy. He was my pick when I first saw the bracket. Now seeing Dominic Mysterio advancing, maybe Finn Balor, maybe run back Dominic and Finn in the finals. I'm not a big fan of it, but it could be something we do.
Yeah, it's possible, but I think the tournament also with the format that they've done kind of highlights one of the problems right now that we kind of need a shakeup to deal with, and that is the fact that Raw is a lot stronger than SmackDown. And the fact that nobody has won in either bracket for the blue brand is really telling.
Yeah, I think it is, right? In one way, no, because even when you look at the people who didn't make it, who we thought maybe could have, like a Seth Rollins or a Bron Breakker, you're looking at Raw guys again. The Raw divisions just, I guess, be that stronger when it comes to this. I think women is a bit closer. There are a couple of SmackDown women who I think, you know, Alexa Bliss, JC Jane could have potentially have come out on top of their matches. But when I look to the men's division, nobody was thinking, you know, Tama Tonga or Solo Sikoa or Tala Tonga or Solo Sikoa coming out on top. Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, maybe they've got other plans going on. Honestly, Royce Keyes or Finn Balor probably were SmackDown's best chance of having somebody make it into the semifinals.
Yeah, I think it'll be all Raw, because I think it'll be LA Knight that'll win that match. I guess mm-hmm. We'll find that out Friday. But I think of the two matches that are left, the women are definitely a lot stronger on the SmackDown side than it is for the men. So I think it's going to probably be Charlotte that wins that match, and we get Charlotte versus Liv in the semifinals. before we eventually get Liv versus Raquel. And we have to remind ourselves that Liv has had a championship for 50 days and has not defended it once. But nobody has said anything, quite like the way Jade had her title for a long time, and people constantly complained that she didn't defend it.
Yeah, it really feels like they had a plan, the plan being the Stephanie rematch. Injuries led us to not having it, and we just sat around. And we just did nothing for the 2 months instead. And maybe it's because she plays into this that plays into SummerSlam. They wanted to keep it going for SummerSlam, and instead of rewriting the next 2 months, they kind of just froze her for a couple months to continue the story they were going to tell. It does feel like Roxanne turning on Liv is the one that they've been planting the seeds for, but Roxanne lost her opening match. As you say, Raquel has made it through. They're on the opposite sides of the bracket, the same way I look at Dominic Mysterio and Finn Balor being on opposite sides of the bracket. You got to consider that that's going to be the story they tell in the final. But I don't know. There's so many combinations. Maybe you want to just run back Io Sky. Maybe you want this to be the way that Charlotte Flair gets her championship match. I do think Charlotte Flair will be in a title match at SummerSlam regardless of this. And yeah, I don't know. I guess Liv Morgan being the champion heading into it is also a little bit confusing. You know, if we do make it to the finals, I guess Raquel's got to win.
Yeah, I mean, that is the one thing that's like really confusing is that the one of the champions is in the match. It's not like where it would make more sense had Rhea also been in the tournament. Mm. But then you create a situation where it could have just been champion versus champion at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where it is, right? Because if Morgan makes it to the final, she's declared that she's in this tournament because she wants all the gold. And so she would go and challenge Rhea. So then you've got to have Raquel win and then presumably challenge Liv, run back the finals of the tournament at SummerSlam. So hopefully there's a little bit of something left in the tank if that's the direction they end up going.
Yeah, honestly, I suspect that it'll probably end up, the finals will be Charlotte versus Raquel. And I think that, and I think they may actually pull the trigger and put Raquel over. Which, putting her over Charlotte, I think would be the hugest thing they could do for her right now. And then having her with that title shot against Liv is where you get the kicking Liv out of Judgment Day.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I'm trying to rack my brain. Does the winner of the King and Queen of the Rings get to choose their champion, or do they just go against their brand's champion by default?
It's usually.
I think it's choice,
well,
right?
I think it's just they will receive a world championship match, but it's always been, at least when they've done it, with that particular stipulation, it's been that person challenges the world champion of their brand because they've not done it any other way.
Well, I guess if Liv Morgan was planning to fight Rhea, then I guess there is a choice of some kind.
Yeah, but that was solely because she was already a champion. She can't challenge herself.
That's true. She could try.
So I think that was like the stipulation breaker, but I think unless they really want to stretch it, I do think it would be to set up whoever it is that wins against their brand's champion. I mean, you had Cody win and become the number one contender for the WWE Championship through winning the King of the Ring. You had Gunther win the King of the Ring and become the number one contender for that particular brand's championship. So
I was just wondering if we could run back like a Batista winning the Rumble kind of situation with Raquel. You know, she ends up picking up the Queen of the Ring and Liv's like, you want to challenge Rhea, right? Totally. Go challenge Rhea. Bring all the gold to the Judgment Day. And that's when you do the flipping on her. But I might be a little too into Fantasyland.
Yeah, I think kind of are. That may be something we may talk about in a future episode.
That we are definitely not recording directly after this. And looking to SmackDown, I think the reason, at least on the men's side, right, Roman Reigns is a little open. Anybody could challenge him potentially. SmackDown already kind of has their world title scene set. You've got the Cody Rhodes, the Gunther, the Sami Zayn. Everybody's floating around in there. And having, you know, none of these folks in the tournament kind of meant that the SmackDown star was never really going to win King of the Ring. Because I imagine some combination of this is our title matches going forward for the next couple of months.
Yeah, I really think there's a strong chance of Sammy versus Cody at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just it's also possible that they may not hold off on that until we get the Money in the Bank in which is now in October, not September anymore.
Eventually, we'll get the Money in the Bank.
Yeah. So there's a lot of moving parts that we have to deal with, but yeah, I think that is obviously we're going to get another Gunther Cody match with a stipulation, and then where we go from there is kind of in question because it depends on when they want to do what they want to do with Sammy.
Hmm. I could definitely see it being like booked as a Cody Gunther and then Sammy weaseling his way in as a third competitor. We already saw at WrestleMania, right? Sammy, you're not on the WrestleMania card. And so then he just goes out, wins a title and gets himself on the WrestleMania card, loses it, but got himself a spot on the card. So he is definitely playing desperate. Desperate for relevance, desperate to make it to these big pay-per-views. And so I wouldn't put it past him to try and weasel his way into a stipulation match between these two. And we know that he can potentially be the foil to Gunther that can maybe in a triple threat situation get him that gold. Kind of talking still about the King of the Ring and the situation around there, but just looking at the men's tag team kind of lower cardy piece where we've got Priest and R-Truth as champions. They're involving themselves with the MFTs, but the MFTs are beating up on Royce, but Damian doesn't want to save Royce. R-Truth kind of does, and we're getting ourselves into a bit of a multi-way, three-sided kind of feud with these guys.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit of a situation where it's I like the people holding it, I like the stuff they do, but I don't really care for anything that the MFTs do.
Yeah, I guess that's also like in my little description, ignoring the MFT's interaction with Jacob Fatu and the Bloodline over on Raw. So who really knows what we're doing with these folks. I do imagine we're going to potentially head to some 3-on-3 where Priest and Truth are going to have to trust Royce. But when you look at all the recent call-ups, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later in, 4 episodes from now, Royce feels like he still needs that breakout moment. Even though he won the Battle Royal, we know that doesn't do it. It is going to be really hard for a feud with the MFTs to be that breakout moment, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like Royce Keyes, at least what's been portrayed on him. It is a case where they're slowly building him. They're not giving him the rocket pack that Oba has, with good reason. So far, he hasn't shown the charisma that Oba has. But I think there's something there.
Fingers crossed, I guess we get to see something big out of Royce Keyes maybe in the second half of 2026. Well, we are roughly halfway into the episode, so I'm going to go into our entrance theme. She has yet to compete, as of time of recording, in her Queen of the Ring tournament match, but she has recently picked up that Women's Intercontinental Championship from Becky Lynch. It is Sol Ruka, and her theme is planned for you right about now. Welcome back to Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MP. I'm Grady, he's Josh. I guess switching ourselves over to Raw, Sol Ruka did defend her championship against Lyra Valkyra successfully. We're getting to see quite a lot out of Sol, which I think is important. When it's a new debut who picks up the championship, right? You want to see matches out of them. You want to highlight them. You don't want to just shuffle them away and put them in a dark corner.
Yeah. And it also gets that out of the way, the whole Lyra can never defend, never compete for the championship as long as Becky was champion. Mm-hmm. Out of the way, like, by making her the first person she defended against. So we can move on beyond that. It was a good match. I think letting them work with each other a little more, I think, would make it even better. But it was what it needed to be. It was as predictable as can be, but predictable isn't always bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to seeing more out of Sol Ruka, and I think this is just the start. And frequent title defenses is only gonna help, especially for a title like this that's kind of been trapped in the same two people going back and forth for 6 months. It's what I love about the mid-card titles, and you see it a lot with the SmackDown mid-card title, where it's kind of like everybody's getting a shot, and you're highlighting some really awesome talent. Even with the Intercontinental Championship, we're seeing a lot of people going for it, and we're seeing a lot of different matchups and faces around and showcasing people. Let's do that with the women's mid-card titles too while we're at it. And when we're looking at through lines, my favorite thing, through lines for Raw, you know, you've got the Bloodline doing their thing with LA Knight, with Seth Rollins. You got Seth Rollins and the Vision through lining. You've got the Judgment Day with Obafemi, the King of the Ring, the tournaments coming through. The through line that I didn't expect was Mr. Chad Gable all night. You know, he's saying sorry to Penta. He's saying sorry to Rey Mysterio. Then we get the match, and he makes amends after the fact as well.
Yep, we're getting the beginning of face Chad Gable, and I'm all for it. I'm excited for it. He still has a lot to make up for, but he is doing something that, while acknowledging it, Roman Reigns has never said sorry for anything he's done. He's acknowledged it, but he's never apologized for it. This could be something that could eventually maybe get Chad Gable in a title match with somebody like Roman Reigns for the world title, and with him acknowledging what he's done. The next thing he needs to do, besides maybe apologizing more for what he said about Lucha Libre, is maybe apologize to Alpha Academy for the way he treated them. But then the question then goes, what do you do with the Brutus brothers, the Creed brothers? Because at that point, I don't think that they can really be part of the Chad Gable good guy stuff.
No, it definitely feels like they're gone, right? And I'm not meaning definitive, like fired, gone. Just they are no longer a part of this story. I really love what Gable's doing. I agree, he needs to apologize to Otis and Tozawa, but I can definitely see this now. His respect for Lucha Libre, he's been through it. You know, he was mocking it to start with and taking the pee out of it. And now he's, you know, helping out Ray, respecting him, giving him the mask back. I 100% see Chad Gable versus Penta for the Intercontinental Championship in the next couple months. And honestly, I can see Chad Gable taking it. When we were talking about all of the Intercontinental Champion contenders, Gable wasn't on my list a couple weeks ago before that mask versus mask, and he's jumped to the top.
Yeah, it could be that is was needed for him to actually capture the title, was him to get respect for Lucha Libre. I wonder if this is where we would have been maybe at WrestleMania last year, or at SummerSlam last year, had he not got hurt. Because we know that the El Grande Americano had a timetable on it, but him getting injured was both the worst thing and the best thing that could have happened, because it prolonged that storyline. we got the right guy in the storyline. That guy became a massive star in an area that you're trying to become make stars out of because you bought them for whatever amount that they bought them for. So yeah, I think you got that match that they're calling one of the greatest matches of all time that WWE's ever produced. And now you have a chance to capitalize on that. You give him a short run with the Intercontinental title, and if he does well with it, maybe he's the 2027 Royal Rumble winner. How crazy is that to say? Would you think 4 weeks ago anybody had said that would have been shot?
Yeah, it is insane, and I think it's really important as well to look back at Chad Gable when he started the El Grande Americano piece. It was in this feud with Penta, with the luchadors in general. And I'd look back through his cage match history. Chad still has yet to beat, Penta. They've gone head to head on a couple of Raws. Penta's come out on top. Penta's beaten him in a triple threat for a Money in the Bank qualifier last year. So you might be right. Maybe that respect to Lucha Libre is the key that's going to unlock his ability to defeat the luchadors. Because they were always... That's why we had the character, right? Is he couldn't beat luchadors. He was struggling to do it. And instead of sort of respecting it, learning it, and figuring out how to beat it, he decided to mock it and try and play mind games to beat the style. Didn't work for him. As you say, injury delays us a little bit. But we get there now. Now he respects it. Maybe he has... He's been living it for a couple of years. Maybe he can do it. Maybe he can beat him now. I want to see it personally. And then I'm just jumping all over the place. SmackDown. We got a little bit of time left. That world title pool. You know, Rhea Ripley, who's going to challenge her? Maybe Charlotte Flair if she can win the Queen of the Ring, but isn't our favorite in the tournament at the moment. Jade Cargill seemingly still wants another shot. Tiffany Stratton, you know, our mid-card women's champion for SmackDown, also calling a shot. Where do you think, I guess, all of that mixing and matching down there is going to end up going for a couple of feuds?
I don't know. It is interesting. But yeah, it is like Rhea has a ton of options. I do think we are square down the barrel of Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley again at SummerSlam. Getting to it is going to be interesting, like having who she defended against at Night of Champions. I don't know who, but I would not be against Tiffany Stratton. I would not be against Meechan getting a shot.
Yeah.
I would be against Jade getting another shot because she's 0-2 and doesn't need a third shot. But seeing her against Chelsea Green would be interesting.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a lot of combinations, right?
Yeah. So it's just a matter of where they want to go with it. I think it could be just as easy as maybe just having her face Meechan as a stopgap.
Well, what I think was interesting, because they put together a tag team match, right? It was Cargill and Meechan versus Flair and Stratton. The finish was Jade Cargill pinning Tiffany Stratton. So maybe we're spinning Jade off. Maybe Jade's going to go for the United States Championship instead.
Probably where she should have gone first before the world title reign.
Probably. But I could definitely see Jade Cargill versus Tiffany Stratton, Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair as, you know, two big matches, whether we want to put them both off till SummerSlam, whether we want to pull the trigger on some for Night of Champions or a Saturday night's main event before then. I don't know. But I could definitely see those being the next two championship matches for those champions. And for me, the only sort of wild card floating around is JC Jane. We know Fatal Influence is sort of needling at the tag champs. Stole the belts for a little while. But we've got a lot of focus on the trio as a trio. And I don't know what JC Jane's going to get, because I did think maybe she was going to come up, challenge for that US title and do that. But now I'm not so sure. It seems like maybe the focus for Fatal Influence is just going to be those tag team championships in the short term.
Yeah, I think that's where Money in the Bank comes into play. Mm-hmm. By the time we get to October, which is 4 months from now, almost to the day, I think, it gives them enough time to build JC further that they could easily make her the Money in the Bank winner for the women. And it makes sense. And having her hold that around while chasing after whoever is the world champions prior to WrestleMania. So I think that's the plan. I think the plan is to build her slowly and just make her group seem more menacing with the tag titles and have her win the briefcase.
Yeah, I'd be down for it. Because yeah, obviously someone with the briefcase is already pretty scary if you're a champion, but somebody with the briefcase and two goons, is definitely a level of scary in terms of you could lose anytime, anywhere. And usually the briefcase does lead to a championship opportunity or a championship win. So I'm not going to be sad if JC Jane comes out with a championship either. Alrighty, well, that is all we have time for this week. We'll talk more about Julia's turn, I'm sure, next week. But it's been great talking to you.
Maybe.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingrndup, our Twitter page, twitter.com/wrestlingrndup, our YouTube page, youtube.com/wrestlingrndup. And we will catch you next week. Got no time to waste. Tonight's the big goal. Strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go. Press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning. We're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record. There's no one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.